You are listening to Women's Running Stories, the podcast where exceptional women runners share inspirational stories about their running experiences.
Hi, my name is Annie Frisby. I race for Puma and Minnesota Distance Elite based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and my main event is the marathon.
Yes, in this episode, you are going to hear the running story of Annie Frisby, a professional marathon and distance road runner for Puma. Now, I am so excited to have Annie on the podcast. I've been wanting to feature her for a long time, and this Race Report episode felt like a great time to invite her on the podcast. Annie had a great race at the recent USATF 15-kilometer national championships for some very interesting and special reasons, and she is going to get into all of that in this episode. But before you hear more from Annie Frisby, I want to welcome you to Women's Running Stories. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am your host and producer, and this podcast is a proud member of the Evergreen Network of Podcasts. So one quick note up top here, I am really excited to share that I will be live and in person with my friends Julie and Lisa from the Run Farther and Faster podcast, Marathon Weekend in Boston. We will be back on the live stage at the Expo on Sunday, April 14th at 2 p.m., and we have a terrific panel. We're going to be in conversation with elite marathoners Kelly Bruno, Ari Hendricks, and Bree Bomer, and it is going to be a fantastic conversation. So if you will be in the Boston area over marathon weekend, mark your calendars and please come join us. All right, so this episode is a Race Report episode, and it's a little bit of a twofer. Let me explain. So these race reports, I do them for each of the USATF road circuit races. This is a series of races put on by the USATF every year. The races happen throughout the country all year long, and each race serves as a national championship for the distance or the type of race that it is. In addition to being able to earn your stars and stripes, athletes win cash prizes, and athletes earn points that go to the overall series championship that is determined at the end of the year. The featured race of this episode is the USATF 15-kilometer national championships, and that just took place on March 2nd in Jacksonville, Florida, and it was held at the Gate River Run. This is the third event in the series so far. The season started off with the Cross Country National Championships, and that was followed by the 2024 U.S. Olympic Trials Marathon. And I'm going to link to the two previous race reports in the show notes. So yeah, like I said, this is a bit of a twofer because Annie's decision to race the 15K and how that race played out for her was very much influenced by the previous race on the calendar, the Olympic Trials Marathon. These races were 1 month apart, and the Olympic Trials Marathon was Annie's A race. She had gone into that event very well trained, feeling strong and healthy. All the pieces were there, but she did not have the day that she wanted. She did finish 10th at the Olympic Trials, which, of course, is incredible. A top 10 finish, being one of the very best marathoners in the country, it is outstanding. But the goal was top three, because the first three women to cross the line were automatic selections for the Olympic team. And Annie Frisby, she was in the hunt. She was feeling strong, and she knew she had a chance if the day went her way. But, you know, the marathon, you just never know what's going to happen. And she did not have the day she dreamed of. And that was tough. And she gets into all of that. She talks about the marathon, dealing with disappointment, and coming back to racing. She covers the whole process. A couple details to know before we get into the episode. Annie's most recent marathon before the Olympic trials was the Berlin Marathon, which she ran in the fall of 2023. Annie also mentions Dakota Lindworm, who is her very close friend and training partner, And Dakota did realize the big dream of making the Olympic team. She finished third place in the Olympic trials and is on her way to Paris. And Annie mentions top marathoners Gabby Rooker, Des Linden, and Emily Durgan, who I featured in the race report about the Olympic trials. All right, well, let's get to it. Let's hear how it all went down at the USATF 15-kilometer national championships. And to tell that story, Annie is going to go back and start with the Olympic trials marathon, starting by talking about the training buildup to that race. Here to tell her running story is Annie Frisbee.
Yeah, with this buildup being kind of a more special one and more important one, just with it being an Olympic year and going into the trials, me and my team, we really wanted to give ourselves the best shot possible. And so to do that, we decided to go down and train in Florida for the months leading up to the trials in February. So Dakota and I, we were down in Florida in early December, all the way up till the trials. And the thought process behind that was just to really get acclimated to the heat. And then also Minneapolis, the winters here can be pretty unpredictable. And so training here in the winter, I think it would have been tough to have that inner confidence that I would be ready for a warm weather day if I had been training in Minneapolis the whole buildup. So that was another reason, was just to make sure that we're actually getting all of our key workouts in and we're not doing a lot of treadmill or anything like that or indoor track. So it was awesome. And Florida, we were actually kind of surprised. It was actually pretty chilly a lot of the days we were there. So I ended up wearing a lot of leggings and long sleeves, actually. But the humidity definitely was great to acclimate to, and there definitely were a few warm days as well, which definitely gave us a lot of confidence going into the marathon trials. And it was just the buildup for this race was honestly so much fun. We, like I said, Dakota and I, we lived together for this buildup in Florida, and it was just such a fun experience. We had our boyfriends there, we had our dogs there. It was warm weather. So I feel like the whole buildup, it was just filled with so much gratitude to be healthy in a warm place. The training was going well. Everything was just pretty smooth and just overall enjoyable, which isn't always the case for a build. You know, like there's some builds that you're dealing with injuries on and off, or maybe your mental side of things is a little bit off, but that definitely wasn't the case for this buildup. So It was just a lot of fun, I would say. And then going into the race, yeah, there definitely was a lot of probably more internal pressure than anything. I don't necessarily feel a ton of external pressure all the time, but I had the goal of making the team for myself. And I knew I was in a place of fitness where if I had the right day, I could pull it off. Unfortunately, that's just not how the race played out. And with the marathon too, it's, you just don't race it very often. And so immediately after, you can kind of, in the race, it's tough to see where you're making mistakes sometimes. But then immediately after, all of a sudden, it becomes clear as day where you made mistakes. And you almost want to go back immediately and re-race it. But that's not the case. We really only race two or three marathons a year. And so you have to wait quite a while. And that can be tough when all you want to do is just go back out there and sort of prove the fitness that you know is there. But it wasn't there for that specific race day. I went into the race with a solid race plan, and definitely more conservative than I have for the last few marathons. I really just wanted to put myself in the mix, but I didn't want to be, you know, out in front leading, or I didn't want to be making any aggressive moves early on. And so I was sort of just attached to the back of the first pack and then just sort of use those first, you know, 15, 20 miles, just sort of as a checking them off sort of thing. And then my goal was to go into the last 6 miles with a more focused racing mindset and, you know, just try to stay in it and pick people off. But unfortunately, I think the move was made around 17, I want to say, or maybe it was slightly after. But I think in my mind, it was me falling off and it wasn't a move being made. In a race, I feel like the brain is just so weird. It just plays so many tricks on you, I think. And so in my mind, I was slowing down, but in reality, I think that front pack was just speeding up pretty drastically. And so I think instead of letting my mind sort of go to that negative place of, oh, I'm slowing down, this, you know, that happened to me in the last marathon. And so the last marathon I did in the fall. So I think I was kind of just thinking back to that and letting myself think those negative thoughts. So if I could go back, I would tell myself, you have so much time. And, you know, I did have a lot of time. If I look back at it, so many mix-ups were made in the last 6 miles, even last 2 miles, the last 1 mile even. So I think that's just a lesson that I'm continuously learning with the marathon, that, you know, until you cross the finish line, there are so many different moves that could be made. And so I think just not letting myself kind of think those negative thoughts right when that move was being made. And even after that, I did have a few waves of, oh, you know, maybe I'm starting to feel better again, or maybe I could catch that person. I see someone in the distance, maybe I could catch them. But unfortunately, it was just a weird place to be when I wasn't necessarily in contention for the top three anymore. And so it was almost competing for, yeah, one of those spots within the top 10. But it's weird because that wasn't my goal at all. And so it's tough to be as motivated for a top 10 spot rather than the top three spot. So it was definitely a mental battle just staying in the race. I'm really glad I didn't drop out. I know I probably wanted to drop out every single step from mile probably 19 onwards. And so I was really proud that I didn't drop out, but it was definitely a mental grind. There definitely was a lot of super heightened emotions. I think just the amount of, you know, time that goes into a buildup, even though it was a super enjoyable buildup, it's so much work that goes into it. And when it doesn't necessarily pan out how you had imagined or dreamt of, it's definitely heartbreaking. And I think initially after the race, it was just super, super raw. Like, it was pretty hard to get a hold on my emotions, I would say. And I think that's pretty typical for any marathon, even if it goes well. It's emotional no matter what. But this time around, it was emotional more with negative feelings, I would say. But of course, at the same time, wanted to be happy for my teammate Dakota, who had made the team, and show my support and love for her and celebrate her success and try to postpone my own grieving of the race as much as I could. Seeing other professional runners that I'm friends with or I look up to have rough days as well, kind of relating to them in that way was helpful. Like, oh, I'm not the only one that has had a rough one. Dez is always a super encouraging person. Emily Durgan, she finished right in front of me, got to talk to her for a while after the race. I talked to Gabby Rooker on Instagram for a little bit. I think she was feeling similar to me, putting it into perspective that way. And also some of the runners who have had several Olympic trials experiences, just hearing their perspective of, you know, you have so much time and your day will come, and just believing in that and looking forward to the future. And so I think there's always more support out there than you think there is. And it's always reassuring to hear from those people that you kind of look up to and are friends with, just to hear their perspective, and everyone's career has their highs and lows. And so just hearing those different stories is super helpful in the long term. But yeah, afterwards too, it was definitely tough, probably for the next week or two. I think I've learned from past bad races that it really doesn't do any good to try to just ignore the pain or ignore the sadness you feel. And I think it's just important to let yourself grieve, whatever that means for you. And so for me, that typically means like just letting myself cry or letting myself. My boyfriend is a really great listener in those situations. So just talking things through with him or just leaning on family too, I think is really helpful. But I think more than anything is just letting yourself be sad and not putting on any sort of like facade that you're okay, or I guess just trying to hold in those sad thoughts. I think just, yeah, letting yourself be sad for as long as that takes. And for me, that was probably 2 weeks. This time was pretty sad, but I think pretty quickly, if you really let yourself feel those emotions, I think you're just able, at least for me personally, I'm able to heal a lot quicker from it. And so I think that's why I was able to bounce back so quickly, was I let myself feel sad for the time I needed. And then once I was ready, I started making a game plan. And as soon as I started making a game plan for what I wanted to do next, I started to get really excited. And I had a meeting with my coach, and once he was kind of excited about the same plan and on the same page as me, then I was, you know, super excited. I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. So I think it was just all about patience with myself and not trying to rush anything or doing anything because I thought someone else wanted me to. I think it was just sort of listening to my gut and what I wanted to do and what felt right. And I think that's really helped me in the recovery process. I was kind of worried that I would not want to race for a long time after a heartbreak like that. But fortunately, I think it just motivated me and made me excited to get back out there. So I'm super grateful for that, because there definitely have been some bad races where it's like, all right, I'd never want to race again, or I just need a longer break. But this one, I came off of it healthy and more motivated than anything. But I definitely needed to give myself a couple weeks just to let myself be upset with it and feel that loss, but then get back out there. And that's what my goal was with racing the 15K so shortly after, was just to kind of get back out there and not let any sort of fear of racing settle in. Or also just, I had a lot of fitness in my legs, and so I wanted to use it somewhere and just kind of go right into the next season. I'm feeling good. And so I think while my motivation is good, I might as well race. And I'm really excited about the schedule I have lined up.
And yes, the very first race of Annie Frisbee's new season was the USATF 15K, which, as a reminder, 15 kilometers is just over 9 miles.
For the 15K, it really was just go out there and race. There's no pressure on it. If it goes poorly, I genuinely didn't care. I think I really just wanted to go out there and enjoy the racing process again. Racing is really one of my favorite things about being a professional runner. And even when it goes poorly, I think it's so awesome. I love racing. And so I just wanted to go back out there and sort of put myself in a vulnerable position. Even if I wasn't sure kind of where my body was at yet, you just never know coming off of a marathon. And so I only did like one tune-up workout the week of the race. Otherwise, I had just been easy running and my body felt healthy. But without any major workouts, I wasn't really sure kind of how it would feel to go that race pace again. But it was honestly totally fine, because I went into the weekend and I was able to talk to a few of the other athletes who had also just come off of the marathon. And, you know, we were all in a similar situation. So we were all just sort of the mindset of, you know, we might as well go out and see what we can do. And I think that mindset is so fun to race in, because there really wasn't any pressure on it. And whatever the result was going to be was what it was going to be.
Annie was ready to get back to it and put herself in the mix once again by lining up at the 15K, where she was joined by fellow pros Kira D'Amato and Emily Durgan, both of whom were also coming off the marathon trials. Also in the mix were pros Emma Grace Hurley and Rachel Smith. And something to know about this course is that it is marked by a distinctive lead-up to the finish. There's a significant climb that comes towards the end of the race, and then a big downhill to the finish. This makes for some exciting and challenging racing all the way through the finish line, and this year was no exception.
Yeah, the gun goes off, and the course for the first little bit, I feel like at most USATF championships, we just go out, you know, guns a-blazing, but it really didn't feel like we went out that fast. It almost, to me at least, I don't know if this is the case for everyone, but it almost felt like we were playing a game of chicken for the first 2 or 3, 4 miles of who's going to take the lead, or, you know, who's going to do the work. Because I think most of the people in that front pack were just coming off of the marathon. I think the only two who hadn't were Rachel Smith and Emma Grace Hurley. And so everyone was kind of just sort of eyeing each other up of like, who's going to do the work. And I was kind of just trying to key off whoever was doing the work at the time, just trying to zone out. Even though it's a lot shorter than the marathon, 9.3 miles is still a good distance. So I definitely wanted to make sure I had enough in me for those last few miles. And so I didn't want to do anything too crazy. I think Kira and Emily made a move. I want to say it was like mile 4 or 5. And at that point, Rachel Smith, me, and Emma Grace had sort of fallen off. Rachel was in front of us, and Emma and I were sort of going back and forth of who was in that fourth position. And after a while, I ended up passing Emma for the final time and sort of started to try to pick it up again. I think halfway through, I'd kind of slowed down. Didn't quite feel great, but then I hit another wind and started to feel great. So I tried to ramp up the pace again and get back into it to try to catch third or second or first, whoever was in front of me. And yeah, I saw Rachel Smith for a while, and it definitely appeared that she was, you know, in third and maybe nowhere close to second. So it was cool to hear after the race that she had run some ridiculous last 5K and won the race and outkicked Kira at the end on that downhill. If you know the 15K course, there's a pretty big bridge at mile like 7 or 7.5. And it goes up for like, I want to say it's a mile. And then it goes downhill into a downhill finish. The uphill is pretty brutal. And the last few years I've done it, I kind of die on that uphill. My main goal is just to get to that hill at mile 7 or 7.5, feeling decent, and then really try to charge that hill and focus on good form and not mentally checking out on that hill. And I was happy that I was able to accomplish that. And then as soon as I hit the top of that hill, it was really just, my mind was just let gravity do the work and almost let myself fall and really just hammer home for that last half mile or mile, whatever it was, downhill. And I was able to do that. And I ended up closing pretty hard. And turned the final corner and got to the finish line. And that's a race where I'm always so excited to see the finish line because it's always just such a humid race. And it's always tougher than you think it is coming off of that hill. And so the finish line is a very welcome sight. And yeah, I was really happy with the performance and just, I think more than anything, the mental side of it and staying in it and not checking out and coming back strong after a disappointing race like the trials. And it was great to just, you know, talk immediately afterwards with the other athletes and how they felt coming off the marathon. And I think, like I said, we were all a little bit surprised that we felt as good as we did.
Annie did surprise herself, and she finished strong for fourth place. Rounding out the top five then was, in first place, Rachel Smith with an incredible finish to her race. Coming in second was Kira D'Amato, followed by Emily Durgan. Then in fourth was Annie, followed by Emma Grace Hurley in fifth. So yes, it was an incredible race with great racing and some surprises. And for Annie, not only did she come away with a fantastic fourth place finish, but also her race execution was solid.
Mentally, I was really happy with how I kind of handled the highs and lows and just kind of rolled with the punches of the race. I've raced this one twice before, and so I kind of knew where my weak points mentally were. And I think that I can't really remember what mile it is, but it's around halfway where it's just the course goes back into these neighborhoods that are pretty quiet. And this race too tends to string out. And then once you're sort of in no man's land and it's also quiet in that part, that's kind of where I've struggled the past few years, just staying in it when no one's around you and it's tough to see who's in front of you or who's behind you. There's not a lot of crowds or anything. And so this year I knew that and I made a conscious effort of not letting myself kind of check out at that point in the race because I just knew that was an issue for me in the years prior. And I think having that knowledge was very helpful, and I was sort of able to, yeah, talk myself through it and get through those quiet miles. A lot of the times I'll give myself a landmark to get to, you know, just get to this tree, or I'll just kind of talk to myself like, okay, the person in front of you is this far ahead, let's kind of put in a little surge. Or for me also, when I start to get tired, I start to tilt my head. And so I really talk myself through having good form, you know, making sure my head is straight, you know, my shoulders are back, my legs are, you know, moving efficiently, and all those things. I think just sort of focusing on the movement itself can be helpful and distract from the pain and get you through it. And I think just talking to yourself in general can be calming. You know, if I'm frustrated in a race, maybe I'll vocalize that inside my head. And just saying it to myself, I think helps, no matter what that is. Or, you know, if I'm going back and forth with someone and I would like to make a move and pass them, then if we're going back and forth, I'll tell myself, all right, I'm going to make a move. And this time I'm going to like actually make a move and make it a more serious move. So I think it's just kind of talking internally of like what I'm thinking and what my plans are, and almost saying it in my head helps it become a reality. And I think that's a tool that has really helped me in races when I'm able to think straight and actually use it.
Annie continues to hone her race strategies, and she's looking ahead to a full season of racing. And like she mentioned, she recently met with her coach, Chris Lundstrom, to flesh out what the coming months will look like.
Yeah, I kind of went to him. We actually went for a run for this meeting. I felt like it would be easier to just talk everything through. I feel like runs just helped me think better too. But he was totally on the same page. I kind of went to him with a list of races that I wanted to do and The first one being the 15K, and then the next one I'll be doing is going to be the Cherry Blossom 10 miler, which is also the USATF 10 mile championships. And then after that, I'm going to throw something fun in there. I'm going to do the USATF road 1 mile, which is during Drake Relays Week. No pressure on it. It's something I've really never done before. I think the last mile I raced was indoor track, my junior or senior year of college. So it'll just be good to spice up the training and jumpstart the legs a little bit. And after that, so I'll be doing the USATF 25K championships as well. And hopefully the grandma's half marathon and maybe a few 10Ks in there. And then the USATF 20K and 10K championships, and then hopefully a fall marathon as well. And Chicago is definitely on my list. I haven't done Chicago yet, so I'm definitely interested in that one, but I'm open to anything at this point, so TBD.
TBD. Well, whatever fall marathon Annie Frisbee decides to race, I will be sure to follow along and cheer her on. And I, of course, will be cheering on Annie to all of the racing that she has coming up because she has a full season ahead of her. It is so exciting. And I want to thank Annie Frisbee so much for coming on the podcast and sharing her racing experiences. Thank you so much, Annie, and good luck on all of your racing coming up. And I know you, like me, will want to keep up with Annie on social media, and I will link to how you can do that in the show notes. She has a great Instagram account, so please look to the show notes for that link. Also in the show notes, you will find links to the other race reports we have done this year. And please subscribe to the podcast so you do not miss what is coming next. In the race report world, the next race on the calendar, like Annie mentioned, is the USATF 10 Mile National Championships taking place at the Cherry Blossom 10 Miler in Washington, D.C. on April 7th. This is always a great race with fantastic competition. It is a racer's favorite, and I am super excited to see what happens. I also wanted to mention the top five runners in the USATF road circuit races overall. This is with the three races already done. Who is in the lead? So, first up is Emma Grace Hurley. She has the most points with 19. She is followed by Fiona O'Keefe, who was the winner of the Olympic Trials Marathon with 15 points. Fiona is followed by Rachel Smith, who, of course, just won the 15K. Next up is Wayne Colati, who was the winner of the Cross Country National Championships. And fifth is Emily Durgan. There's a lot more racing coming up this year, so it will be fun to see how this all plays out as the year progresses. Before I sign off here, I do want to remind you to mark your calendars for Sunday, April 14th, 2 p.m. on the live stage at the Boston Marathon Expo. If you are going to be in Boston that weekend, please come join me and my friends, Lisa and Julie from the Run Farther and Faster podcast, where we will be in conversation with three great racers, Ari Hendricks, Bree Bomer, and Kelly Bruno. And that is going to do it for me. I am Cherie Louise Turner. I am the host and producer of Women's Running Stories. Thank you so much for being here. I always appreciate you listening. And until next Friday, I do wish you healthy, joyful, powerful strides forward. Women's Running. Running stories.
There is no hood like parenthood. When you meet a fellow parent, you just kind of get each other on a whole nother level. Hi, I'm Kanika Chanda Gupta. I'm a former CNN journalist, mom of three, including twins, and host of That's Total Mom Sense, the podcast. I interview change makers on their life lessons, legacy, and superpower of intuition, aka their mom sense and dad sense. I've had some pretty amazing parents on my show.
Hey, what's up? I'm Kelly Rowland.
Hi, this is Chelsea Clinton.
It's me, Bobby Brown. Can't wait to share my story.
Episodes release every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube. Join my tribe at thatstotalmomsense.com and follow me on Instagram at Kanika Chadda Gupta. I'm thrilled to be on this journey with you.